Welcome in, Kingly Brothers and Heroic Husbands from Miranda Planet. Welcome to this special episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this episode, we are setting a new precedent, and we hope it's going to be a precedent that's going to welcome in a lot of similar experiences to come. We're welcoming in Tara and Dwayne Kennedy. Dwayne is a long-term member of Heroic Husbands, the movement. Previously, it was the men's circles. Now it's the training and community platform. And well, with us dudes behind the scenes, Dwayne has been telling a really wonderful story about how his marriage is going. So his beautiful goddess, Tara, volunteered herself forward. I think it was at the time, if I remember well, when Dwayne, you came on the show yourself. And she's like, oh, God, if Mark ever wants, you know, a queen to come on, she volunteered it forward. And many different things and projects and focuses in the meantime, and it just, with the new platform, I had time to open up and I'm like, wow. But I will put some fire under your bum here, Dwayne, as always. I'm really curious to know all the great reports that you've been telling us guys behind the scenes. Is that actually being backed up? So this is my opportunity to put more fire under your bum, and it's your opportunity, Tara, to set us straight if he's been talking a talk that is too big for his boots. You're both really, really welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Thanks, Mark.
You're very welcome. So I was telling you guys beforehand, just keeping it real here with you and with the audience listening in, I was like, oh, shucks, no bio. I didn't, and it's in perfect sort of harmony with just keeping it informal. This is a really natural, beautiful chat. But Tara, can you let us know, like, go back to the beginning. Where did you guys meet? When did you meet? How did that all come about? Just give us some bit of a background where this beautiful story began.
Sure. When I was in first year university, I guess I would have been 19. His best friend sat behind me in first year English lit class. And so we struck up a bit of a friendship quite a friendship, and which eventually led to him introducing me to Dwayne. But Dwayne was very much unavailable. And not that I was necessarily interested, but anyway, we had years and years of friendship, including a fiction writing group that the three of us kind of invented together, and we'd meet regularly to share some fiction we'd wrote. And it kind of grew from there. We kind of started emailing. That's when texting wasn't really a thing. We started, but it's beautiful. It's the closest thing now, like real emails, to writing letters, you know, like in Victorian times.
Yeah.
And we would send emails back and forth, and we just got closer and closer. And then that's when we were about 30, 31. I can't remember now. Anyway, we've just had our 21st anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. Two boys, teenagers. And I just feel very, very grateful that it's been a ride. But I'm so glad that he found this podcast. I'm so glad he found you. I'm so just deeply, deeply grateful, because 3 years ago, I wasn't convinced that this was the marriage for me. Mm-hmm. Not that there was no. We're lucky. We weren't really in a crisis exactly, but it was more discomfort, and I just couldn't see, like, I just didn't really want to spend the rest of my life in the energy that was our relationship. And so he took it upon himself to really address that, and which is how he found you in this podcast. And it is, I do brag about my husband. I do. I it is a fact.
I just need you to formally let everybody listen in going, Mark has not paid you to say those exact words.
No.
Albeit Mark is really smug in this moment that now that you are
Right?
saying those words.
Oh my God. I think it's such a good name for your podcast. I was like, wow, because I mean, he even caught me doing it. I'm careful about when I do it because I certainly don't want to say it to someone who's having a difficult time. But when I'm close to someone and I'm sharing like some of the things we've gone through, I end up going, holy shit, it has been a massive transformation. And it's gone from a relationship that was had a lot of tension, or even just the undercurrent of potential tension, which is almost the worst part of it. You're not even letting anything out, or just like what's coming around the corner and you don't know, and you're sort of bracing a lot. To we literally get excited to see each other when I have to go into the office for a bit, and we send each other little memes and stuff about how we miss each other. And then even if I'm sometimes only gone for 2 hours, I come back and I run upstairs to his office and he's clutching his little fists under his chin. And I'm like, yay, I'm home. And we hug and it's wonderful. It's really good. It almost feels like we're teenagers again in a way. It's that sort of joy in each other, just the simple, I'm just in this room with that person. It's
Yeah, and
really wonderful.
it truly is the most precious thing in the world. And I know as men, one of the things I say, what you're just describing there, Tara, I'm imagining most women, if they're listening in, would resonate with that. And it's almost like be okay with that. It's like romantic novels, romantic movies, rom-coms, etc. It tends to be the very much feminine display. It's that union. And yet, in this profoundly sick society, just having the permission as a man to go, that is the peak of all the experiences. To have that gushing, beautiful, romantic, goofy, silly, to be able to let loose and actually meet your queen like that, it's truly a peak experience. For me personally, it's like whatever I do in the podcast and in work and financial, and that's all cool stuff. I like really cool. Nothing ever compares than Matilda and myself be meeting each other like that. And hey, particularly those moments when there's massive tension, and there does be even still, of course, it's like, but when we both manage to get back to that sweet spot, there's nothing like it in my world. Dwayne, I'm curious, such a beautiful context set there by Tara. I'm curious if you can take us back to so the fresh blossoming love and that connection and the friendship that via the beautiful Victorian style modern day mosh pit of the emails to and forth. So the love, the connection, it blossomed. In your mind, how long was it in your mind? This is like the trick question because I'm going to be asking Tara in a couple of months to see just to fact check, is the masculine report and the feminine report in congruence on this? But when did you notice the first signs of that close bond, that connection in marriage waning? When did you notice the first clear signs of tension of God, this beautiful thing that was there, that there was so much enthusiasm? That's just not there anymore. How long into marriage were you?
I mean, I think the signs were the sense of tension or the areas where we had discord were pretty early on. I mean, in some cases, even just during courtship. I mean, the love I felt, the sense I felt that this was my person was always there, but there were areas of misalignment from pretty early on. Places where, I felt, and it, knowing now, looking back, I'm like, fuck, that was all me being up in my head. But if, if you could interview that guy back then from 2015, 10, even 5 years ago, he would have told a story about, oh, she doesn't pay enough attention to me. She doesn't make enough effort. I'm doing all the work around the house. I had a lot of stories in my head. And knowing now, looking back, like, I want to throttle that dude, but I also have compassion for him because I didn't have the tools that I have now. But I don't want to speak too much for Tara, but I imagine that it presented to her as a radical lack of safety. I didn't have a good handle on my emotions. That was a really big part of it. When I would feel challenged or frustrated or hurt, I would pull away. I would withdraw. She would tell me, you're not looking at me. You're not talking to me. You're like, you're here, you're in the space, but you're abandoning me energetically. And I would just totally fucking gaslight her and say, no, I'm fine. You're wrong. Everything your nervous system is telling you is incorrect, when it wasn't.
Yeah, your words I want to share with you, Duane, and with Tara as well. For your words are pretty much autobiographical for me. If Matilda was here now, the gaslighting, I actually have goosebumps and like my hair is standing up. There can be the inspiration version of hers goosebumps, but there's the oh my effing God version of yeah, I resonate with that. So deeply, and that grief looking back with the compassion now, but my God, I'm curious, Tara, can you tell us your emotional story? So it's cool now and it's really beautiful and it's divine timing, and we can talk all the beautiful philosophical things, it's better now than never, et cetera, and that is true. It's essential that a couple can meet each other on that healing path and go, hey, if it has arrived now, it was meant to be now. And yet it's also true that's not easy to go through, particularly for the divine feminine, which, us guys in this profoundly sick society, we've learned to completely disconnect from emotions and tell a 99.99% mental unfeeling story. The divine feminine doesn't have that subterfuge, doesn't have that from moon time to bringing beautiful children into the world. Your emotional centers are sensitized in such a beautiful and sacred way. So, can you tell us what was your emotional story in experiencing that, in looking on at this unfeeling, gaslighting persona in front of you that was pretending to take over that sweet, beautiful king that you fell in love with?
Yeah, I guess it just was there was a profound sense of just a lack of predictability, of safety. I was always hyper attuned to his mood, like to the point where this is not normal. Like this waiting, like, is this going to upset him? Is this going to upset him? Is this going to upset him? And constantly, like I said before, sort of bracing for impact. And I know that people around us could feel that tension too. And I mean one of the hardest parts about and I'm happy to speak to it. One of the hardest parts was our physical relationship. As many couples go through, it's rare to find a couple who have the same physical desire for each other, the same level. And not to be a cliche, but it was a bit cliched where he was, ready anytime, and I wasn't. But it quickly, pretty early on in our relationship, because actually he wasn't the first person I experienced something like this with. But it was, anyway, because he wasn't the first person I experienced this with, I already had some sensitivity around feeling comfortable saying, no, I'm not wanting to have sex right now. And he would just, if I said no, then he would just completely shut down. And I would feel like I was being punished because he wouldn't, it's not that he wouldn't talk to me, but it just, you could just feel the wall. He would suddenly say almost nothing, often for about for hours. And I also know very well, not to speak for him, but his intention, it was coming from a place of deep pain for him, feeling, we've talked about it at length, feeling unlovable, feeling like I'm not attracted to him, like he, so much pain and fear. It wasn't about punishing me, but to me, it just felt like a punishment. And of course, the cycle there would end up being every time we're in bed, my own sort of like fear, is he going to be interested? And I couldn't even tell anymore if I was or I wasn't. I was just fearful that I would have to make that decision. And what if I say no? And that what's going to come after that? So it just got really tangled up in a lot of anxiety. And yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. However, I do feel much safer now, like incredibly safe. And I suppose I shouldn't jump ahead, but it was hard. I mean, that was one element.
You can jump wherever you want. Your direction
Okay.
is if you I'm not going to Matilda would be here now. She would knock me on the shoulder. She's like, let Tara be a goddess. She's going to be untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, and you better just deal with her, man. If you want to jump ahead, you jump ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a common issue in relationships, right? And people just interpret and get upset around sexual issues, and yeah, like my heart does go out for who he used to be, and just the amount of pain that he must have been in to get that shut down about it, even though, it's not. I told him that I'd done some reading about it, and that it actually is kind of abusive behavior, even though that wasn't the intention. I knew that, but it very much reads as abusive behavior to the other partner.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was one of the things for myself personally, that energetic bridge to go over and go, oh my God, Mark, you're ticking so many boxes of being an abusive intimate partner in bed, emotionally. It was a really humbling point where I had to look at it and go, yeah, you've just got to take this on the chin, man. That's, every argument that Matilda, in my mind, oh, she's flinging the same crap. It's like, well, if it was landed with a lot of mud on it, it's because she wasn't safe. But when I unpacked the diamond in the rough of every single thing she was telling me in every argument, there was grounded black and white feminine feedback. And it was, you're not safe to be around. And again, it's this thing. Matilda's working. She does quite a bit of one-on-one work with women around the world. Not in marriage, it's daughters of narcissistic mothers, but quite often the same traumatic pathways of a daughter mother, not setting boundaries or not feeling you're allowed to set boundaries, it clearly
Yeah.
leeches into marriages. So very often the second half of her 10-week program with clients marriages end up coming up. And there's one thing that Matilda says to pretty much every woman, and it just gets this outlandish. It can have the effect from women tearing up with the validation of it to the, oh my God, thank God you're telling me this. You know, it's like, and it's this idea of, do you ever feel that you're holding space for an immature kid?
Oh yeah.
It's.
I often felt like I had three kids, not two boys, three.
Yeah.
I often felt like that I had to take care of the younger ones' needs and make sure they were okay, and then I had to make sure he was okay. And yeah, it did feel like that quite a bit. Not all the time by any means, but quite a bit, particularly, when he was going through some negative emotions that I felt were sort of, it would end up getting kind of, I would bear some of the brunt of it. I would feel like I shouldn't have to make sure he's okay so much, or try, like spend so much energy trying to change his mood from really negative to even just calm and neutral.
And I'm curious, Tara, because I'm hearing, as Dwayne is speaking, I'm hearing my inner world, and as you're speaking, I'm hearing it's just so alike to things I've heard Matilda speaking. But when you said they're, holding space like for a kid, but not all the time. I know that part from Matilda. Oh, but not all the time. Matilda's got really clean and clear with me over the last number of years. She's like, yeah, Mark, I didn't have to hold space for, that immature, boyish part of you all the time. But it's like in the windows that I wasn't holding space for it, I was on eggshells.
Oh yeah.
So ultimately, round the clock, it's like when you were fine, my nervous system was just 24/7 going, how long is this going to last?
I was still bracing for impact
Yeah, so
all the time.
it's that real tragedy of there's good times and bad times, but in
Yeah.
actual fact, the good times are interlaced with that background, playbook of, well, there's a small, the ever lessening. I know Matilda was like, there's this smaller list of things where, yeah, Mark's going to be in fine. He's going to be fine and in good mood with that. But it's getting smaller over time. And then there's this ever lengthening list of, yeah, well, that prickles him and that triggers him. And don't talk about money and don't challenge him on that. And don't say anything about him cooking. And don't, it's an impossible game. Tara, at what point did your nervous system get to? At what point was it where your nervous system said, enough is enough?
I mean, I think it happened a couple times. But I my the last time it happened, excuse me, the last time it happened, I know, was my around my 50th birthday, so I'm 53 now. And yeah, I can just remember I'm very close to my mother, and I can remember, having a coffee with her. I can't remember if it was that day or the day before, but anyways, around that day, and just saying, I don't know. Like, this is not, there's not, it's not, you hear other people's stories where, oh, they cheated or this happened, and there's this defining moment where there's a split that can't be repaired. It really wasn't that. It was more gradual, but it started to be this really strange feeling of, I need to put myself first, and this is not the energy. Like, it's just what I wanted for 5-year-old me to live through, a life of constant lack of safety, really. It comes down to that. And that, like, what does that little girl deserve? And again, I love it. And it was so weird. It wasn't like I started to feel the possibility that that I was falling out of love with him. That there wasn't that I can't imagine my life without him anymore feeling. It was just like I really starting to go, I deserve safety and comfort and calm. He often asks me, not that often, but anyways, he likes to sometimes ask. He likes to plan, and I'm not a planner, and so he says, "What are we shooting for? What's the next 10 years like?" I'm always like, I just want to be happy. I don't need there. I mean, of course, we both enjoy traveling, but I don't need to plan. I just, as long as I'm happy and calm in the moment, I don't have a bucket list. It's really experiences like this chat is that's what I live for. I don't need to go places or bungee jump or whatever, you know. I just don't. But I respect that some people very much have things they're passionate about, but that's just not how my brain works. So, yeah. Now I have no idea where I was
Oh,
going.
perfect. This is beautiful. I'm getting into the juice. I'm there with you, and I know Dwayne, like that's what we do in Heroic Husbands. It's there's no script.
Yeah.
Our heart and soul always has a much more interesting script. In fact, I came in with no bio, no questions. It's like let's just see where it goes.
And go.
So you have those deep reflections. Your 5-year-old, your 50th birthday, you're there with your beautiful mother. These reflections are coming through you. How did you act on that wisdom when you had that clarity of, I don't even know, am I falling out of love with him, not seeing a future together? How did that show up, like in marriage? How did you bring that topic, that conversation to Dwayne?
I'm not even sure that I think it was more like he felt it because there's always a part of me going, okay, this is a long-term ride. You need to, so you've been feeling for a while. You know how there's ups and downs and they're often stretched over longer times. And I thought, I just need to keep white knuckling it for now and sort of not make any rash decisions. But I think he could just feel it. I don't remember that we had a real conversation about, I didn't give him a ultimatum or anything like that, but I think that he could just really feel it this time.
What was your experience after that, Dwayne?
Yeah, I do want to speak a bit to that and broader too. From the masculine perspective, I mean, part of the way it showed up for me, I think, was that I felt increasing challenge about having any kind of conversations about our relationship, about emotional connection, about sexual connection, about money, about plans for the future. That just felt like as long as we don't talk about us, we can triangulate. We can talk about other things, or we can have guests over, we can focus on our kids, and just don't shine the spotlight on that. And I think there was a fear and a protectiveness there on my part, be like, I don't want to put her attention on this too much in case she goes, yeah, this is awful. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm out.
It's really, and I'm saying this with full love, as you know, I will, Dwayne. It's really incredulous when you look back objectively on the mental strategies that we use as dudes. We're like, I know, it's like, yeah, we talk about this, talk about that, and it's almost like, can we just tiptoe not talking about this for like the next 6 decades, and can we just get away? I'm laughing because again, I was doing something really similar and just not having somebody get in my face and go, Mark, do you know how ridiculous that's the mental strategy is. And yet we do it. Every guy has this in their own way, shape, or form. So I'm smiling at that incredulous nature. You know, for guys listening in, it is incredulous. It's hysterical if you can get to that, you know, attachment theory. I really love the teachings of attachment theory. Every behavior, every mental strategy makes sense when you know the context. Every bit. And yet, at the same time, when you take a look at it, it's like it's incredulous that we'd even think for a moment that we can get away with it. So, in those reflections, Dwayne, what I'm curious about was, because this is really key for guys listening in, at what point did you go over that energetic bridge of, okay, I'm avoiding this, I'm trying to avoid this, but something inspired you to go, I can't ignore this anymore. I've got to go over that bridge of acceptance and surrender to there's something to do my side. I've got to take action on that. How did that look like for you?
But I think Tara was absolutely right when she said we didn't have a conversation per se. It's not like she came to me and said, change or else. This literally is the first time I've heard about this particular conversation with her mom. But my nervous system knew that that's where she was because I was there too. I understand now how much fuel and power I was giving that dynamic, but I was also in that dynamic where we weren't connecting, we weren't aligning, and it was eroding the closeness and the love and the sense of passion and connection and wanting to just be with this person. And, I've done, in terms of the concept of self-help work and personal growth work, I've done a lot. At the time, I was, reading a lot of stuff on neurodiversity, and I'm like, maybe I can, if I have a better understanding of myself, I can change things. But I also have a really powerful belief. One of my favorite, quotes is when you change one part of a system, you change the system, which is what really, the evidence of that is here in their heroic husbands, in not just my marriage, but many other guys in the community who I've seen, bring literally be the transforming heroes in their relationships. That if you can change the dynamic, one person. You can't change the other person, but you can change the signal that you're transmitting to evoke a different response. So that's when I got to work. I started like listening just to every podcast with the word marriage in it that I could find. And then I found this one that miraculously had the word husband. I'm like, well, no, nobody's talking about this from a particularly masculine perspective. There's lots of men's work podcasts, and I started hearing more about No More Mr. Nice Guy, Way of the Superior Man, some of these Bibles of men's work. But what I was really looking for was, I'm like, yeah, anybody can do men's work, but so much of the men's work I encountered was, a lot of it was guys either trying to find love or trying to recover from the loss of love. It's like dating pre or post divorce, I guess. And I'm like, I don't want to get divorced. I don't want to be a single guy looking for love again. I have my love. And I'm screwing it up, but I think I can fix it. And the tools that I've learned and the challenge and support I've received from men, first in the Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, and now in the community and training platform have we heard Tara talk at the beginning about what our relationship is like now. If I didn't even believe that it could be this good. I believe it now, but at the time I just wanted to stop the pain that I was causing for both of us in that dynamic.
And Tara, I'm curious because without mentioning names of different things, because every approach will have its own unique effect for different people. But I know Dwayne had tried some other leading programs specific for marriage, et cetera, and were you active in the knowledge of what he was trying? And I'm curious, after a couple of different attempts of different approaches, and it hadn't yet brought him to where he now is, what were your feelings going in, him going into another movement, another thing? Call it be the husband you want, he brags about you, or heroic husbands. What were your what
Well,
was your emotional journey hearing of this another movement?
I mean, I know it was interesting for him to really look at, how like we believe his brain works a bit differently because there's he has a touch of the tism, as my friend says, a little bit of autism, we're pretty sure. But so that helped explain things, but it didn't change anything. Like knowing that, well, it felt like almost like an excuse in our situation anyways. But so that was his first work, was, as he said, looking into that to try and figure out why sometimes his brain does certain things. But that wasn't enough. And then, so he was listening to various podcasts, and some were a bit religious, which isn't really for us either. And I couldn't tell the difference. I couldn't. And he didn't tell me when he started listening to this one. But that, I didn't necessarily expect anything would ever change, but it didn't take very long before things started to change no noticeably. And I love the fact that he's never been a guy's guy his whole life, which is part of why I love him so much, is he's quite sensitive and creative and everything, and in stunningly articulate. And the fact that he obviously had developed such deep and loving relationships with these men, just they so appreciated each other. You're not afraid to tell each other you love each other whenever that feeling hits you, and the deep appreciation for each other. And it's just the completely dropping all the bullshit barriers that men put up between each other all the time in the most casual conversations, what you're allowed to talk about, what you're not allowed to do, all these unspoken contracts. I could just tell he suddenly wasn't, he was just connecting with men in a new way. And how amazing, I believe that had a real impact as well. Like he had a new hope for his own self, and to feel this sense of community, and to be challenged by you and the other men he was meeting, just like, because the bullshit radar is strong, the force is strong with these people, and people are absolutely, and calling him out even on the autism thing. Okay, great, maybe your brain is worse, but what are you going to do about it? Like identifying it and saying it's not whatever, my brain works this way and it doesn't help our relationship. Yeah, but this
Yeah.
is where it's like, no, but there needs to be action and follow up, not just I can't because.
Yeah. I know I spoke about that with you, Dwayne, on your individual podcast guest appearance. I wasn't as kind or as eloquent as when you were speaking about the bit of tism, as your friend was calling it. I was ruthlessly direct.
You
First
were. He
application,
told me. He
like.
told me. He was a little bit like su surprised. surprised that that was the feedback he was getting. But I
I
was so deeply, I'm like, fuck, this is great. I was so happy.
yeah, I've had it as my background, my background intention. And I've even said this in some circles or some containers with guys where I'm not here to please you guys. I'm not here to be your friend. If there's one audience that I want to satisfy, I do imagine that the queens of guys are there. And I have this like, it's almost comedy like, where my queen is there, Tara is there, all the wives, queens, goddesses are there. They're eating their popcorn or whatever, and they're all looking, going, oh, wow, look at this. He's being grilled. None of that bullshit. All that bullshit that Matilda was calling me and my bullshit for what was, we were like 12 years married, and boy, did I pack intense crap and project some amount of stuff. And Matilda, she had this bugbear. And I've come across this. I'm just curious if that was live for you, Tara. One of Matilda's big bugbears in the beginning of men's work is I'd come down and it was both revelatory. My excitement was coming back online. And Matilda'd be like, yeah, I'm happy for you, but just because some American cool dude that's doing breath work and tells you in some funky Daida style language, masculine, feminine, you take it from him. I've been fucking telling you that for 12 years. And now you just listen to this dude because, you know, that you met 2 weeks ago. She sort of had this, yes, I'm happy that finally you're taking it on board, but God, but Mark, I've been telling you the exact same things. Why, like, why do you respond to this dude and not me? What was your experience of that? Because it does work like that. You know, it's like,
It does. It's like when it is like a little bit like when you have kids. Well, if the babysitter tells them to do it or the lady down the road tells them to do it, they'll be like, "Okay," but you're like, "Can you please do this?" Hell no. 'Cause you're too close and I don't know, it gets all messy and tangled up. I don't know. There's too many other energies happening and you can't just like really hear what the person is saying. It's your own interpretation of it. And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It yeah, I just feel really, really lucky that he decided even just the first steps and in even into the podcast that didn't work and as you know, like we have gone to therapy and none of it made a bloody difference. No, this is like this is the he's doing the, he did the real fucking work on his own. He did the real fucking work. Like no shortcuts, no, I don't know.
as Dwayne's queen, how does that make you feel on the inside, witnessing him, knowing those dark moments, knowing like no other human on the planet, the amount of pain that he must have been going through? You now have witnessed his hero's journey from that level of pain, that level of shutdown, to have that compassion, but to see him coming out the far side and hey, a lot done, more to do. How does that make you feel to witness that progress and know he's done the work? It's not Mark, it's not a heroic husband's, it's him in the privacy of his own nervous system doing the hard work by himself. How does that make you feel?
I'm so proud of him. I feel so lucky to be his wife. Like I can't, I don't know anybody else that has a relationship this good. I don't. And I just feel like he's just so there for me, even when I'm spiraling. He's talked to me about how you know, you that the concept of him being the mountain for me. Oh my God. Yeah, it's just his energy. He turns his whole body, he faces me, he sits, he looks at me, he will often hold my hands, and I'm like, da, 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 da. And he's just rock solid. And I do. I tell people like Dwayne, I say Dwayne has been incredible the last few years. He's done so much work on himself. I really am. Like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. I always knew it was there. That's why we were able to go. That's why we got married. Like, we all know, like, what's his soul? I know his soul is unbelievably beautiful and amazing, but so many layers of garbage covered that up. And he's been able to just get the shovel and move the garbage to the side.
This is telling testimony, Dwayne. I'm happy this side. I'm like, okay, so what Dwayne has been reporting on the inside, it's actually true.
Yes.
Dwayne, joking to the side, what has been the uniqueness of the approach that we take within Heroic Husbands to culture in general? Because you have tried multiple other approaches that just really weren't having any effect, any palpable, noticeable effect for Tara. What are a couple, what are the main tenets of the approach that has, yeah, really lit up your masculine soul?
I think the thing that changed for me, and the point, I mean, she said he didn't really even talk about when he had started doing Heroic Husbands or, I mean, we've talked about this, like I've been aware for years longer than I've been involved in Heroic Husbands that my relationship was in trouble. And I think as men and as women in relationship, we normalize and we rationalize. I mean, the way things were between us when she had that coffee with her mom, if they had been that way 10 years earlier or 5 years into our marriage, I am quite sure she would have left. But over years, over time, like, this is just how it is. This is my life now. And we've both experienced that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't want to pretend I was perfect for a second. One of the things I was a bit nervous about coming on here was like, oh, I'm just going to be like, Dwayne did this, Dwayne did that, poor me, da da da. And it's not. I mean, anyway, that's not really what I just want to say. I'm far from perfect myself. Anyway.
Well, I'm gonna just. I love that you're bringing that up.
Yeah.
Yet I do also want to bring in really, really the context for particularly for men listening in. What we talk about in the culture is inspire, don't require. And I love that you've led with that now. It's like the ownership. Hey,
Oh my God.
I own my side, and yet
Yeah.
I want. It's really key here because you're coming out the far side of this, Tara. What you're after saying there now would have triggered the me of 7 years ago to go, look it. And that part of my mind goes, look it, she was the problem. And that part of my mind would just have overemphasized, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I did like I want to take full responsibility. Like a couple times in our marriage, I did like abandon him in a way emotionally that I just like fed up and fully pulled back, and that I'm sure that amplified his reactions towards stuff as well. But yeah, I have not been the perfect wife, but it's funny what people go through, eh? It's funny what you will tolerate, just knowing the soul that's underneath and the confidence of the beautiful nature of that person. It's amazing.
It's beautiful to see the inspired nature of the feminine ownership. That's one thing that has. I do question myself on moments with my queen. There's moments when that gnarly part of my nervous system is still there, not as lively as it was clearly years ago, but it comes up tough times. There recently, I shared in a podcast and things. I did this game where Matilda was judging me at the end of the day. It's like, oh, was I worth giving one more day to? I had to like a high vibrational day, radical trustworthiness. If I had a blip, I would course correct like within minutes, not. So I got to 113 days, and I'm the whole thing was, Tara, was I wouldn't go back to zero.
Yeah.
If I drop one day, I'd go back to minus whatever number I was at. So just like a couple of weeks ago, I got my ass dumped back to minus 113. So that was humbling times for me. And in moments like that, I can still feel that gnarly part of me that just wants to go, oh, fuck Matilda. Like, why am I doing all this work? Why is it like, and you know, why do I have to do this damn game? Why do I have to, like, why do I have to inspire whore to own horse shit? Like, there's plenty I can point and poke, and I'm just like, no. I love the game that there's just zero oxygen. And I'm building in that context for guys listening in, because it's like the single enemy that we have as men is rationalized righteousness. And that will magnify anything you see with your queen and use it as an excuse. So like part of the culture here is 0%. You don't give one neuron the permission to, you can have one thought, you don't add on another thought to that. You catch that one thought, that's it. You just stop, get back to it. So it's a such a...
I can see that awareness in him all the time. And I think we were talking about this on the weekend. We had a long road trip together, that we are both very aware. Like, we know when it's happening. You feel that energy in your body as soon as it comes. And even if we give into it momentarily, we're both much, much faster at the worst that is going to happen now is we have a little squabble, and within 10 minutes, not only is the probably the person who gave into that pain the most going to come and apologize, but the other is going to say, well, I want to also take accountability for my own, like how I reacted or how I, you know, because there's often two elements. There's often two elements, two sources of pain. And so we both are much faster at acknowledging that. And just the forgiveness is like, okay, like it never happened. Basically it's deep, it's full, it's complete. It's much easier to get beyond things, much easier. It's so temporary now. It's
wow.
A real gift. It's beautiful. It's a real gift.
Oh guys, I'll just say from the outset, I'm viscerally lit up. I'm warm, I'm fuzzy, the emotion is love, it's gratitude, it's admiration for both of you individually and collectively. It's truly, I say it with guys in multiple contexts, but it's like, screw Netflix. There's no series on the planet that does this to see and to be in space with. Clearly, we're all regular humans. It's a ridiculousness to even term it. But, you know, it's like people that you might never see on the cover of a book. You might never see them on TV in the silence in the background of their neighborhood. Neighbors mightn't even know what's happening, but that you're living out this beautiful, intimate journey together. Healing and growing and surrendering and softening into each other, bringing that authentic full expression and, you know, just back on being human together. It's just so palpable. The love and the warmth between you is really beautiful. My curiosity, Tara, is I want some fire. I don't want Dwayne coming in here thinking that he has arrived at this episode. Never. We play the infinite game. It's part of this, like Heroic Husbands. We don't just come and, okay, we're done, we're settled. It's the infinite game. Where is the next growth edge for Dwayne? What's the fiery, the fierce feminine feedback? Where does he need to up level his game?
I think the thing for me that I'm hoping might change a little more is he tends to, like so many people, sort of verbalize frustration, like the driving and grumbling at other drivers, or he's cooking. I think he might have said this to you, and he's like, "Oh, this fucking thing, blah blah blah, something's not working." And I want to challenge him to consider not giving in to that energy, because I don't like that energy in my space. And don't get me wrong, as I said, I'm sure I do it too. But if there's any way to challenge that and not put that out into the oxygen, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, but I would like that to.
You don't have to soften it.
I know.
I want the full flame. I
Yeah.
want you to be like, no,
He
that's not okay.
told me that
Get the fuck
Matilda
over
goes,
yourself.
Matilda hisses like a cat sometimes
Yeah.
if it's just like, no. I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, she does. It's frightening. I still have my nervous system still goes, ah, is that yeah. We heard it. I was listening to David Ayuda, The Way of the Superior Man, and his teachings for years, and yeah, I was like planting plenty of seeds, but I remember him saying, oh, the feminine, it's visceral, it's primal, it's clearly it's emotive, and that untamable and boxable nature. And he said about hissing, and I was like, well, I'm just going to disregard that. That's so like uncivilized, you know? It's like it's, and yet it's just true, you know? And I do find that it's really important to give the permission. It's such a ridiculously polarizing conversation to talk man and woman, masculine and feminine, but it's like, hey, I'm just gonna, we've inherited millennia of deep spiritual teachings, masculine, feminine. It's like, yeah, we find creative ways to bring it into all individual preferences. Yet there is this masculine and feminine part. When to let you into how my mind and nervous system works, Tara. You know, when you said, "Oh, well, his moods," and that part of dot dot dot. Oh, but I know, I have that too. My nervous system's like, of course you have. And like, I'm not coaching you, so, but I'm like, yeah, and bring it like 10 times more. Fuck him. That's feminine. And I'm like gently over time working, helping, affirming Matilda and our girls. We've two girls. Anya is 15, Elena is 11. Both have started her moon cycle. Clearly, Anya, but Elena has caught up. I've three goddesses. And my work, and I believe I want to put this out as like to all guys, to Dwayne, to every guy out there, I believe there's this divine masculine thing, which is to fully give our queens and the goddesses in our lives the permission to be unapologetically irrational. Unapologetically. Matilda read this quote. I think she has it. She at her bedside, she wrote it down. It's like, I'm under no obligation to make sense to you. And I remember her tearing up when she read that. And like, that's back years ago. I had no fucking idea. Like, the me now gets it profoundly. The me back then was like probably the privacy of my own mind. Like, what are you on about, woman? Like, that's just a, I get it profoundly now. Dwayne, you it seemed like you were itching to share something.
Well, what's live for me is really what changed. The flip that switched is when I stopped requiring, when I got that, when I stopped saying, you have to make sense, you have to work too. The work I was doing before, I was like, I found this couples thing that we can do together. I found this podcast we should listen to together. And I realize now that all of that comes off as like you're broken. Come get fixed with me.
I did not want to participate in that stuff. He had to drag me kicking and screaming into any of that stuff.
Because energetically, it was fucked up. I was requiring, and the to me, what really changed when I started to really see Tara stepping back into the space was when I finally got it through my skull that no, I just need to focus on me and create the tools. It's like, oh, I'm gonna, like, I invite you in. I invite you to not do the work with me, but to hear about the things I'm doing. I want to share, like, this is what, I'm really excited. I met these amazing guys. This is the kind of things we're doing in the circle. But it's like, it's not about you. She's perfect. She's phenomenal the way she is. And yeah, our marriage is not done getting better. It is going to continue. I have so much work still to do. I mean, both in the space of marriage and in the space of community. It's constantly revealed to me the areas where I still need work. My quarterly mission now is to specifically address the cooking thing, to ferociously embrace the joy of cooking and make our kitchen a safe, positively energetic space for her,
It's so
that I can invite her into that space.
funny. He's like, I love cooking. I'm like, oh, you might want to tell your face.
That,
You seem pretty unhappy and grumpy when you're doing it. Anyway.
we're grilling his ass, Tara. We're
Yeah.
getting to work. We're supporting him, and he practices what he says here. He
He
really
really
does.
does.
He
Yeah.
I've been I'm in love with you, Dwayne. You know I love you. It's like, and we've formed so much of a bond. Just for context, with guys listening in, Dwayne was one of the first blue belt leaders, community leaders, and it was purely off the back of, hey, it's the embodiment. I'm not impressed by guys mentally. To being some guys that felt upset, oh, I haven't been called in. It's like, I don't give a shit. It's like, if you're embodying this, and if you
I
have the
was not surprised. I know part of the reason we stuck it out this long was because I know what he's capable of, how incredible of and thoughtful of a person he is, and real and authentic, and yeah, I wasn't surprised that he got called up pretty quickly. I was like, hell yeah. Yeah, you did.
That's my king.
It's amazing.
That's my king.
That's right. That's right.
Tara, Dwayne, I'll tell you now, I would scrap my schedule. I would go for hours with you. We do have the celebration. I can, well, you know this, but it's what, in 2 months' time, you're coming to Ireland.
Yes.
Just so happy that we got to have this experience. I'm beyond inspired, and I literally do not have the words to express the wonder and awe and the impression that just being in space with you, and the amount of love and the looking in each other's eyes and the way I've been truly so inspired. I'm in the octagon of marriage. I'm not perfect. I haven't got my shit together. I'm on minus whatever day the Matilda has me at. I'm clawing my ass back out day by day to get back to zero and beyond. I'm in the thick of it. So it is so inspiring to see how far you both have brought it thus far. And there's a ton more to come. I know one of the things I was telling Dwayne recently, Tara, were on your trips abroad. I think, was it last year, Italy? I think you went to
Yeah.
Florence, Matilda, I remember that, and just a snapshot. And those photos communicated. I knew that. I joked about wanting to find out if Dwayne's words, what he was reporting, was real or not. The photos have been such a visceral. They light me up. I smile. There's so much love in those photos. Like a quick snap, I think you went to Mexico. And it's just like one look. It's like the amount of happiness and
Yeah.
connection and bliss and joy.
I think people can feel it. I think people can, there's just like an energy, I think, between us. I think people, when we go out in public, I honestly think people can feel it. Like we'll sit down at a restaurant and I'm just we're just delighted. I feel lucky to be part of this couple, and just to like let that energy pour out into the world, what we've created between us. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm receiving your gratitude. I will.
Good.
I do fully receive that as deeply meaningful. A lot of work, the podcast, you know, commitment behind the scenes from my side. And yet it is also true. You look into that man's eyes and there's all the gratitude in the world, because I can't do shit. I say this to guys. I can't do anything for any guy. It's the willingness, and Dwayne has had a level of humility of, you know, the masculine grows by truth. I was reading notes there last night of an old training I did, and it was like, masculine grows by challenge and truth. Feminine grows by appreciation and praise. And like it or lump it, guys, it works.
Yeah.
If you surrender to that and you don't seek praise and you don't seek acknowledgement, you don't seek your queen to gift you what is energetically your gift to your queen. And if you get to work like Dwayne, that humility, that truth is what liberates you. The truth about where your nervous system is at or not. And challenge, direct challenge from your queen, from your kids, from men that are playing this game. It's it's wondrous what is unfolding clearly in both of you.
Yeah.
Beautiful
and,
manner.
And I think it's like, yes, you've given him so many beautiful tools, and he amazes me, his complete 100% dedication to using them. It is so inspiring. It's so inspiring.
Coming into landing.
Yeah.
In a conversation that just doesn't want to end. I'm feeling
right.
It on my side. You mightn't have it on recording afterwards, guys, but there's just three bubbling, smiling nervous systems here. Two in Canada, one in Ireland at the moment. Tara and Dwayne, I'd love both of you. It's one curiosity coming into landing, and it's, I do end the guest episodes with this, but I'm curious to have your words on it as well, Tara. A lot of guys listening in, maybe some queens, and they're at that energetic bridge of, yeah, things aren't right, and maybe I should just take a chance, get an email list and get in the next intake, or hey, there's one-on-one coaching. Maybe I should just take that leap of faith. But they're on the fence. Tara, what words would you have for a couple, for a husband that is considering and is just has the handbrake up? What would you say?
It's such a minimal investment. And I'm not even talking about money. I'm talking about, you know, your time, your energy, considering against the payoff. Everyone deserves to give themselves a chance. Everyone deserves. It is simply a yes or no. It's that easy. And if you keep saying no, or, well, not this month, are you insane? Life is short. Like, you deserve the happiness you can get from this. You deserve the community you can get from this. You deserve the love that you can feel every day. You will be stunned that you were putting it off as long as you did. You will be like, what the hell was I thinking? I could have had this 6 months ago. It's just such a no-brainer for me. It's hard work. It's fucking hard work, but that we don't grow unless we do that.
Yeah.
Nothing will change. You do have to do hard work, and that's okay, because the payoff is paradise.
Beautiful. Dwayne, dare you even try and follow up with that? Super concise. I know we're we're coming to time here.
I would just say to the guys out there that, like, you heard it here, you the husband can change it. That you single-handedly can pull a relationship out of a nosedive and back to level flight and even to soaring. That, you know, the and it is hard, and it takes a commitment to do it, to, you know, to learn the tools and the mantras and the skills that are such an amazing part. There's a reason it's called the community and training platform. You're going to learn amazing things there, but if you apply them, the transformation that you can create is life-changing for your own nervous system, for your queen that's struggling, for your children if you have kids.
Oh my God, that's a whole other thing. What he's modeling for our boys is so beautiful.
So, Tara, Dwayne, this has been absolutely epic. Thank you both so much for coming on. Dwayne, to you, thank you for your incredible commitment still within the community. If guys are coming in, they're going to be seeing your beautiful face and hearing your wisdom throughout the community. Yeah, that's what to sign up for. It's the community. There's immense wisdom exponentially growing there in so many men. So it's, yes, if you've been a phenomenal support and continue to be. And yeah, Tara, thank you for setting the precedent here in the podcast. It's like once this has been done, it's going to happen again, clearly. So it's been a wonderful experience for me, firsthand, my side to go, yeah, cool. So you really led with the creation of that, with that offer some months ago, and finally it's come into fruition. It has been a beautiful, beautiful experience. Thank you so much for coming in, guys.
My absolute pleasure. Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much. I can't wait to meet you in person. It's going to be wonderful.
Ah, it's gonna be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, first and foremost, to my amazing queen, for giving me this gift of coming on to this show and being part of this journey that's so meaningful to me. Thank you, Mark, for the podcast, for the community, for your amazing guidance and mentorship, and the love that you pour into this. It's made the world of difference in my life and my marriage. I love you, man. Thank you.
Love you too, brother. Well, heroic husbands, kingly brothers listening in, and if there's some beautiful queens there listening in, you're welcome as well. I'm going to leave you with Tara and Dwayne's words of wisdom, and I'm going to quite simply end with the mantra of this beautiful movement. And it's perfectly in alignment with that, as always. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.